Good morning. We are on Chapter 18, Christ of Being, in this book by Joel Goldsmith called Spiritual Power of Truth. If you haven't already, take a moment and become quiet, center down inside. Father, open my eyes, my spiritual eyes, that I may discern the truth within myself. Speak, Father. Thy Son heareth. Let us begin. The only way to stop erroneous reaping is to stop erroneous sowing. Erroneous sowing only takes place up here in consciousness, in thought. It is determined by what I am willing to see out there. Either I am willing to spiritually discern that you are the Christ, or I am going to judge by human appearances. It is up to me. Choose ye this day whom you will serve, truth or error, spiritual truth or human knowledge. If you choose spiritual truth, you begin at any instant you like. This instant is as good as any other. To take the attitude of sitting back, looking out at this world and saying, "Thank God I know thee now who thou art. Thou art the very Christ of God, the Son of God. Thank God I know thee who thou art, the Son of the Most High, offspring of God, heir of God, joint heir with all of us to the spiritual kingdom. Son, thou art ever with God, and all that God hath is thine. This earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, and it belongs to each and every one of you. Begin. Break the malpractice and begin to behold Christ. Know the truth. Be sure that you do not put your head in the ground and say that there is no evil. Remember, all evil is an activity of the carnal mind, an activity of malpractice or antichrist. But because it is not of God, you don't have to fight it. Do not fight error. Do not try to overcome error. You can't. Do not battle. Just quietly know the truth. Don't argue about it. Don't fight it. Don't discuss it. I can assure you there is nothing to discuss about truth. The discussion of truth is an utter waste of time. You are the Christ of being, and that is all there is to it. If anybody wants to discuss that with you, let them go home and discuss it with themselves. Do not waste time. The truth is that all evil is impersonal. It is a universal belief in two powers. It is a universal malpractice or antichrist. That is truth. Holding to it, abiding in it, and proving it. This is the whole story. That is why when this truth is presented to you, you should be very careful that you do not present it to anyone else. Be very careful that you keep it locked up inside of you as a very sacred secret until you can demonstrate it. Truth is not subject to discussion. There are certain laws of truth that have been laid down by the mystics who have been God-inspired or God-endowed. When you hear or read these truths, either you know that it is truth, or you are not ready for it. If you do feel the rightness of what you hear or what you read, keep it very sacred and very secret. Lock it up inside of yourself and practice it, because it is all taking place up here in your consciousness. Then, when you begin to witness the fruitage of it, and someone comes to you and says, "What is truth?" you can begin to explain what you yourself have learned and are demonstrating. However, do not permit them to discuss it with you. Do not do that. I can assure you they will prove to you that you are all wrong. There was a reason why the Master taught that you should not pray to be seen of man. When you pray, retire into the inner sanctuary of your own being and do your praying in there, and let the evidence of your praying be outwardly manifested. The Father that seeth in secret rewardeth thee openly. If you do all of your treating in secret, all of your praying in secret, the results will appear outwardly. Then, when you are called upon to explain or to teach, you can. However, when you do, be so well prepared within yourself, be so convinced, that you do not ever permit anyone to discuss it with you. Never. Are we still under the law, or are we under grace? Can you for a moment conceive of praying in some way that you will not be asking for anything? Could you possibly think in your mind of a prayer that would have in it no element at all of wanting to benefit from the prayer? Now, this sounds very gentle as I give it to you, but I can assure you that when you think it over, it could make you very angry. If you ever seriously undertake to pray, pray without ceasing, but pray prayers that have in them no desire, no expectancy, no wish for the getting of anything, receiving or attaining of anything. You will find that before you can successfully attain to that degree of spiritual praying, you will nearly tear yourself to pieces. It becomes very difficult to take the attitude of God, "I do not want anything. I do not need anything. I am not coming to you for anything. I am releasing you. You have no responsibility to me whatsoever. There is nothing that I need. There is nothing you have that I want." Sure, we should be coming only to commune, and not for any purpose, just to commune. Then think of all the different things that come up in your life that it was believed for centuries God could give to you. Then you will see what a terrible tearing apart of ourselves it is once we begin to live this other life. Now we are instructed here to do this, even though in the beginning it could tear you apart. There is a statement in our textbook, The Infinite Way. Did you know The Infinite Way is our textbook? That little tiny black book, or if you buy the modern one, the one with the pretty cover, not the one where they've taken God out of it, but the real original, just reprinted. There's a statement in our textbook, The Infinite Way, that if it were understood, would make a lot of enemies for me. My good fortune is that only my friends have understood it. I keep praying that it will always be that way, because this statement says, that which I am seeking, I am. Or, as my friend Chuck used to say to me, what you're looking for, you're looking with. Now, what does this do to your sense of prayer? That which I am seeking, what am I seeking? Truth? I am the truth. Am I seeking God? I am God. Am I seeking supply? I am the bread, the meat, the wine, and the water. Am I seeking health? I am the resurrection. I am the life. That one sentence in the book could change a person's entire life. It would, if it were understood, and if we developed the capacity to live it, so that at any moment when thought came to mind, that I need, I want, I desire, I wish I had, or when our thought reached out to God for anything, this sentence would come back to us, that which I am seeking, I am. Then you would also find your muscles tensing and your face getting rigid, because now you would have to stand pat on, I cannot desire anything, I cannot want anything. I cannot even go to God for anything. I have to abide in this truth. In the Art of Meditation, in one of the chapters, he says, walk without seeking. That which I am seeking, I am. I am the way and the truth. The kingdom of God is neither low here nor low there. I am. Do you see what happens? If you are abiding under the truth that I and my Father are one, you are under grace, because you are living by such promises as, Son, thou art ever with me, and all that I have is thine. Now just take that scriptural promise, all that I have is thine. It all comes back to I. All that I have. Now I, the Father, and I, the Son, are one. According to Scripture and according to revealed mystical truth, I and my Father are one. I, the Father, I, the Son, am one. Therefore, what has I the Father that I the Son hasn't got? If I the Father and I the Son are one. The point is now to live in that constant remembrance. All that the Father hath is mine, for I and the Father, I the Father and I the Son is one. That keeps you from reaching out to God, and of course, it breaks all attachment to this world. You no longer expect justice from man, or love, or benevolence, or anything else. You know now that all that I receive, I am to receive from the Father, and yet not receive, because all that is embodied in the Father is embodied in the Son. Prayer has to be that constant recognition. Now that's praying without ceasing, that constant recognition. That's true prayer. Thank you, Father, I am. It is not I need or I want, not I shall be or should be or even I deserve to be, but I am. Supposing we are imprisoned in an appetite or a sin, a disease, in spite of the appearance, we know now that there is no use praying to God to release us from our diseases, because God is no more going to do it for us than for all those people in the hospitals. There has to be a different truth than praying to God for something. And here it is. The spiritual freedom of the Father is the spiritual freedom of the Son. Or the spiritual freedom of the Father is the spiritual freedom of its manifestation. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. Since I the Father and I the Son are one, then the Spirit of the Lord is where I am. Here, where I am, God is. The place whereon I stand is holy ground, because I and the Father are one. You see, you are now abiding in truth. And as you abide in truth, you will find that the prison bars, whether they are iron bars of, or disease bars, or sin bars, they begin to break. Sometimes, miracles happen in a flash. Sometimes it takes days, weeks, or months for these miracles to dissolve the particular fetters that bind us. However, the point is that there must be a constant living, moving, and having your being in the truth that I am the truth. Not that there is a truth that will free me, not that there is a God that will heal me, but that I and my Father are one, and all that the Father hath is mine. The place whereon I stand is holy ground, because the Spirit of God is here where I am. The kingdom of God is neither low here nor low there. It is within me. Then why am I praying for anything when I have omniscience within me, the all-knowing? Why am I praying for anything if I have omnipotence within me, the all-power? Why am I praying to a God when I have omnipresence within me? In other words, God is no further from me than my own breathing. Since God is the all-knowing, I do not have to pray to God for anything. I have to abide in the truth of my oneness with God. Nothing enters your experience except through your consciousness. Nothing. Whatever it is that you are to experience in your life, you must experience through your own consciousness. There is no outside God. There is no outside devil. There are no outside laws. Whatever it is that is operating in you is operating through and in your own consciousness. And it is one of two things. You either... You have either a consciousness of truth or a consciousness of ignorance. If you are ignorant of truth, you are not made free. If you know the truth will make you free. Therefore, it is your knowing or your consciousness. You must consciously know the truth. Do not sit around waiting for some mysterious God to do something for you because you are charitable or kind or moral. It will not work. It is your abiding in the truth. Your abiding in the Word and letting the Word abide in you. It is your abiding in God and letting God abide in you. You are the one who is doing it. The moment you stop praying to God, you will find you have discovered the secret of answered prayer. The moment you are no longer the parasite seeking to draw something from God, instead living in the realization of that which I am seeking, I am, since I, the Father, and I, the Son, are one. By consciously knowing this truth, I am abiding in the consciousness of truth. I am abiding in the Word, and the Word is abiding in me. I have to hold to that while ignoring the appearances that would testify to my present lacks and limitations. We can't deny that we have lacks and limitations at the moment. They're too apparent. But we can begin to ignore them while we abide in the truth, let the truth dissolve them and dissipate them. There was a time when we used to believe that because we were in spiritual work, God would see that we had ample supply. Then we found out that God did not much care whether we were in spiritual work or not. The supply just was not there. As a matter of fact, to God, there is no such thing as spiritual work. See, he's taking away our human beliefs. He's smashing our delusions. There's no such thing as spiritual work as opposed to, what, human work? No. There's only I, the Father, and I, the Son, one. One life, living itself. In whatever direction it moves, whether it's building an empire, or whether it's building a group of spiritual students, there's no difference. The difference is in the one that's beholding it. So the difference is in the consciousness. You must move out from the belief that because you were born, God owes you a living. Or because you were born, God owes you supply. or because you are a good wife or a good husband, or a good housewife or a good parent, or a good employee or a good employer, that you deserve supply. This is all in the realm of fiction. Nobody deserves supply. Everybody has infinite supply who recognizes their relationship to God. I the Father, I the Son, one. This is the only spiritual source of supply. What? Those who recognize their relationship to God. If you are abiding in the truth, that's your source of supply. Your consciousness. Humanly, there are thousands of ways of getting money and properties and securities. Spiritually, there is only one way. It is not by earning it or deserving it. It is not by being worthy of it. It is not by giving God 10% so that you get back 90%. It is not sacrificing to God. It is not spending so many hours a day in prayer to God. There is only one way to enjoy the infinite abundance of God, and that is through knowing the truth. The truth you have to know is your relationship to God. I and the Father are one. I the Father and I the Son are one. The Father is always saying, Son, all that I have is thine. As long as I keep looking to I will be abundantly supplied. Now what does this do to human nature? We have been taught for centuries that a husband owes his wife supply, and the wife really loves to believe it. It is so comforting to know this. He owes it to me. What does it take to release your husband from the obligation to support you? I'm going to pause here and save what I have because the power's gone out twice. And I don't want to have to remake half of this talk. So I'll save this half now and start the second half. Thank you. What kind of an effort do you think that it really takes inside of yourself to say, I free you, I loose you, I accept from you whatever out of love you give, and I accept that as the love of God. But I release you from human responsibility or legal responsibility because I am accepting my divine relationship to God. I am declaring that I and my Father are one, and my Father has many infinite ways of bringing unto me that which is my own. Now, you will find that is not easy. We have centuries behind us of the belief that someone else is responsible. Do not think for a moment that this makes it easy for the men either. They have something equally serious that is holding them in bondage. They believe that their supply is from their business, their profession, their inheritance, their investments. Of course, in this modern day, what would the world do without Social Security? What do you think that it really takes for a man to go within and say, I will continue to work and to love my work, but I release you from the strain of believing that my supply is dependent on you. I have my intimate relationship with my source. I have my personal relationship with my Father. I and the Father are one. Do you see how you are bringing yourself out from under the law of human belief, human relationships, human channels of supply, and bringing yourself back under grace? No one can permanently bring you under grace but yourself. Every time a practitioner brings about a healing for you, physical, mental, moral, or financial, they have released you from whatever law was operating and brought you under grace. That is all there is to spiritual healing, releasing the patient from under the law. Every time you turn to a spiritual healer, the healer has to remove you from under this law and bring you under grace, to where that law of infection or contagion, that law of food or climate, is not operating. You see, there is no such thing as anyone separating you permanently from being under the law or from being under all of the law. It is something you do yourself. Your practitioner does it for you in the acute condition for which you turn for help. However, if a practitioner could do it for you permanently and completely, he would be too busy for you. The millionaires would hire him right away. So sooner or later, students must begin to bring themselves out consciously from under the law and bring themselves under grace. They must begin to bring themselves out consciously. They must at some time or other release themselves from old-fashioned prayers or metaphysical prayers that seek to gain something, get something, receive something, achieve something, even from God. Release God and let Him go. Say it outright, you owe me nothing. I seek nothing from you or of you, for you have already imparted yourself to me, and all that thou hast is mine. You begin to live under that divine grace. Then you find you are under the law less and less. Less and less you are under the law of weather, or climate, or food. Less and less you are under the law of infection or contagion. Less and less you are under the law of age or calendars. More and more you move into a life by grace. It is a gradual process. We come to a transitional point. Something happens, and in the twinkling of an eye, we are completely under grace. At a certain period of our experience, the fetters fall away. The law falls away. The past falls away. And we are under grace. Actually, we have brought ourselves there through the years of seeking God, seeking truth, seeking realization. Because of our years of study and of meditation, we gradually slough off traits of humanhood and thus prepare ourselves for a certain moment. It is like that of Saul of Tarsus, who for so many years had studied under the greatest masters, and for years had devoted himself heart and soul to the temple and to his concept of God. Then in one blinding flash he is free. He realizes the Christ, and Saul of Tarsus is dead, and Paul is alive. So we have a man now saying, I can do all things through Christ. I live, yet not I, Christ liveth my life. This is what happens on the spiritual path. Day by day we break some fetter of human experience and we drop some phase of humanness. We make that transition to where our prayer now is a benediction to the world, to where we are no longer praying that we receive anything. We are praying, Father, forgive our enemies, they know not what they do. Father, forgive those who have despitefully used me, they know not what they do. Father, forgive all those who are not in thy grace, and bring them under thy grace. In other words, we have made an about face, and we are no longer sitting at the feet of the Master. We now are the Master, and we are healing the multitudes, feeding the multitudes, and feeding and forgiving the multitudes, or rather freeing the multitudes. We are now Christ consciousness, and we seek nothing for ourselves because we know that all that the Father hath is already mine. Now our whole life is pouring forth God's grace to this world, but not in the form of throwing our pearls before swine to be trampled on. We do it silently and secretly. Our praying is done in secret. Yes, our praying is done in secret. The Father that seeth in secret will reward thee openly. Therefore, we do not go around blessing our fellow man, so that he can see us do it or know that we are doing it. It has to be a secret within ourselves, known only to ourselves and to the Father within. Now I thought originally that this was the last chapter, but I see there is a chapter 19, when Christ has entered in. So that will be the last chapter next week. It's somewhat of a short one too. Maybe we should press forward. No, I think I'll leave it till next week. Okay, so this is a short talk today. It went by a lot faster than I thought. Let's pause for a moment and see if we forgot anything or need to add anything. That which I am seeking, I am. But this I is not this little 5'8" human being. That's not the one I'm seeking. All that I'm seeking, I am. I. Who is this I? Where is this I? In your meditation, sometimes you feel I, the I of your being. It moves through you and you feel it. You are consciously aware of it. And when you do, your consciousness is Christ consciousness, because the awareness of Christ has filled your consciousness. Now, anyone, anywhere, reaching out, touches your consciousness. We have already said your consciousness is all presence, omnipresence. Therefore, anyone reaching out to you is reaching out, even though they may not know it, reaching out and touching Christ consciousness. Now, in that light, there's no reason to fear knowing within yourself, I do not have to sit at the feet of some master in India, or Tibet, or China, or Japan, or Hawaii, or the United States. No, I don't have to sit at the feet of a master anymore. I, this all-presence I am the master. And there is no other. Don't let anyone tell you or make you believe that Joel Goldsmith is the master. Because the only master is I the Father, I the Son, one master. And when you know this, there's no longer any fear. You don't have to be afraid, well, I'm going to get a big head and go try to conquer the world, because you will know the only master is this invisible spiritual presence that I feel in my moments of stillness, of quietness. And so be still and know I am the only master, and I am within you. So sit at my feet. Let my peace be upon you. Accept my robe, my seamless garment. I the Father, I the Son, one. And the robe is your conscious awareness of this, because it covers everything and everyone, every when and everywhere. All that I have is thine. What a wonderful way to live, to discover through demonstration that the living Christ is within me, animating me. And when I recognize it, animating you. I'm going to rest in that feeling of the Christ right now. Know ye not that I am within you? Know ye not that ye are the temple of the living Christ? God in manifestation is the living Christ. Not a Christ from 2,000 years ago, the living Christ now within you. I go before you. I flow through you. I have come. And your constant recognition of me, of I, is your salvation. And so take up your cross and follow me. Your cross is that human sense of self. Take it up and follow me. Your constant recognition of I within you. I will never leave you nor forsake you, but you must recognize I within you. I have come to give you the kingdom. I have come to give you the conscious awareness of the realm of the Father within you. Live as the Son. Demonstrate the principle. Prove it. I, in the midst of thee, am the Master. And what I have mastered is dying daily, so that I of myself am nothing, but I within am Christ. God manifesting. Live this, and in a certain moment, when ye think not, I am come, and you will awaken to I in your midst. I am the way. I am the truth. I am the life. Thank you for this talk. Thank you for what you've done over the years in helping me to see this truth. Because the more I dwell on it so that I might speak to you, the more I become it. That which I'm dwelling upon, I become. And the same is true for you. Dwell on the truth that I the Father, I the Son, are one. Dwell on this truth. I God, I you, are one. I am that one. Blessings, too many to count.
Amen.